with this change of understanding, in consciousness you will watch all mortal sense of body be evicted, just like the animals in the temple, until you will truly see yourself before you became a mortal being. That wasn't only the Christ standing there before the Jews, who demanded a sign. It was the invisible self of mankind, of you and of me, giving you and me a sign and everyone in the world a sign, announcing, I, the Spirit, who declared here, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I am the immortal self of you, the body that I will raise up in you is the immortal body of your soul, which you have right now. We are being taught to cleanse the temple, to get rid of the money changers, the false concepts that deny one being, one infinite self, false concepts that make the claim of a second selfhood. You see, actually, there are no Jews. There are no Gentiles. There are no Greeks, no bond, no free. There's only one life itself, indivisible, one, perfect. All divisions are the man-made concepts without truth. That's why we are told to lay down our life. Lay down your false material sense, mortal sense, physical sense. Pick up your life, the truth of your being, as my immortal spirit here and now. This understanding comes to us not from a human intelligence, but because one walked before us as Jesus, who discovered his Christhood, who depersonalized, who stepped out of the belief that he was a mortal man and recognized that he was life itself. Now that is the truth of us, of every individual on this earth. It is the truth of everyone in this room. Merely awaiting our capacity to receive this truth and then to distill from the truth the goodness of it. And then the marriage of truth and good is the beginning of our wedding ceremony. The untapped possibilities of your being are so staggering that even the disciples, when they watched this amazing demonstration before them, could only think that he must have had superhuman powers. The Jews responded by saying to him, how can you do anything so ridiculous as destroy our temple? Don't you realize it took 46 years to build that temple? Now, I don't know how many man hours or how many hours they worked each day, but if it took 46 years, as they say, to complete the temple, here in 3 days, he was going to, well, you see, that's the same mind that was asking for a sign. It couldn't understand what he meant. Its capacity is to speak only on the level of this world. You'll find that's basically true of the Bible itself. The words that come from the Christ, wherever they do in the Bible, they come from the Christ, and they have one meaning. And then the ear of a man hears them, and the outer ear of the natural man gives it a completely different meaning than the Christ word itself. So it says, well, how can you do something that has taken us 46 years to do? How can you do it in 3 days? And that's the same type of misunderstanding that's true all the way through the Bible. The literal mind gives literal meanings to the spiritual word. The literal church mind, the literal scientific mind, gives literal meanings to the spiritual words. And so man still lives in the outer courtyard, cluttered, unaware of the invisible perfection that surrounds him on all sides. But he spake of the temple of his body.
Now, you see, the disciples didn't understand. It says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They didn't understand it then. They understood it only when he had risen from the dead. Fortunately, we don't have to follow in their footsteps and wait for him to rise from the dead, because all that happened a long, long time ago. We know about the crucifixion, which they didn't know about then. We know that you die with Jesus to rise with Christ. You die with a form idea to rise with the Spirit. And all of this dying, it isn't about a man. It's about you dying. It's about you dying to your false sense of self. Until the outer courtyard of the mind is cleansed, how can there be a regeneration, a rebirth? You can't get into the temple. It's all cluttered up. And so we purify the mind of concept, and the road to the temple is clear and open, and regeneration can take place. We can join the mother, the brethren, the disciples in this complete journey, this holy journey to selfhood. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. Yes, the Spirit of God, which men were calling Jesus, certainly knew all men. And he knew that they didn't have the capacity to know at all what he was doing. But it was on record. It was done. And 3 years later, they would know what he was doing. It's on record, it has been done, and now we know what he was doing. He was showing us who we are. He needed not that they should testify of man, for he knew what was in a man. The great revelation in this cleansing of the temple and going down to Capernaum then is that the Spirit of God, which knows no time, which is timeless, in which all is completed, finished, perfect now, is here now. And we do not learn, we learn not to live in the future of that, but in the present of it, within ourselves. Now, there should be a turning in you, an overturning. And that overturning is from the one that I had been to the truth of what I am. That inner overturning in you is the purpose of the whole event. This is what takes place within a person who finds Christ within. Mortality is overturned. The whole basis of life is overturned. It ceases to be a buying and a selling. It ceases to be a becoming. It ceases to be something we do now for the future. It works into another level of a now that is never less than now. A now that never concerns itself about what happens in time. The sowing and the harvesting are all done in the invisible. The invisible nature of life becomes the new capacity, the new way of living. The entire past method of living in the visible is overturned. You live inside the soul. that infinity is not separated from your true being. You don't have anything to give to sacrifice to plan for. Infinity is accepted as the present power of your being. You put your hands behind your back. You remove all need to plan a better life. You become an instrument of infinity. All the old methods are overturned. We become a living instrument of infinity. Now, in our meditation at this moment, the body image should be realized to be the point at which infinity comes forth in the complete spectrum of good. All that is good is present. To exercise its dominion over this outer physical world in its own way. If you are capable of accepting the infinite light as your being. That light which can move through a courtyard, and eliminate all that is untrue. That light which can enter every nook and cranny of your present mortal life, to remove all that is not immortal, to purify, to bring the power of love, the power of peace, the power of truth, all this as the complete panorama of your inner being, accepted as a permanent dispensation. We let Christ within cleanse our temple. Wherever the physical form of you will be, the light is there with the full glory of God. Your outer senses will not know this, so you must know it from the inner temple. You must learn to depend upon it totally. Not to depend upon the five senses or the brain, which cannot see or feel or know this light. And then you are training your inner disciples.
You are actually giving them a chance to be transformed into the senses of the soul. You're letting Christ rise in you. We should all welcome this opportunity to stand in the invisible light of our own being in the face of many trying circumstances. For these things are really nothing but the outer courtyard, the falsities which deny Christ, I am. These are world thought made visible, and in proportion as you are able to accept the light of being as your true self, you will learn to reject this world thought. For its very purpose in being there is to enable you to turn from it to the Christ until the rising Christ overcomes the false sense of the world. This is the holy journey of the family of Jesus and his brethren and disciples. And we, as a class, are now in that journey.
When there's a firming up inside, and you find you're not moving with the tide of world thought, so Something tells you you've overturned a few tables on your own. Something in you is steady, standing fast. Something in you has a way of knowing that all evil, all error, is impossible. There's no place for it. Something in you turns to such an extent that you feel certain of this. And that is the first birthing of confidence in Christ. There's a certainty, a conviction. You don't know how it happens, but something lifts you into that conviction. And you know what it means to stand fast, that in quietness and confidence is your strength. The conviction is positive, and it's not done through the will. The invisible spirit lifts you to the conviction that all that is imperfect cannot exist and is not there. You know you've overcome the illusion of the imperfect. And strangely enough, when you have reached this place in consciousness, the imperfect does dissolve. Now, it doesn't come because you will it, but it suddenly comes all by itself, and usually it is because you have been faithful, because you have been able to look and put forth the inner effort to stand still, and then it comes, and you find why it didn't come before, why the errors didn't dissolve before, because there had to be this new wavelength within you. A new level of yourself that must be experienced to be understood. Then you know you've been chosen. You've gone beyond just truth in consciousness. The water has turned to wine. You realize why the Christ says, I of my own self can do nothing. There must be this invisible activity of spirit, and it's innate, waiting to be realized in all of us, and it happens. It is beyond the capacity of the human brain to understand. It simply happens, and you are sure, you know, and that inner knowing becomes the harmony of your outer world. That inner knowing translates into outer harmony, all by itself. It's a sign that the inner temple has been cleansed. All the doves are out, all the cattle, all of the world thought that has clogged the entrance to the inner temple of spirit, of being, has been evicted by this pulsing whip of spirit. And you stand free. That experience comes again and again and again. Until instead of Jerusalem, you're in New Jerusalem. The consciousness has been transformed. The old is gone. The new is there. That consciousness which was before the world. Now, it is the faith to know that that consciousness which was before the world, which in the time world will be yours, it's the faith to know that it's there now which makes it available to you in the world of time. You must accept it as a present fact in order for you to experience it in the world of time. It is now in your true self. It is now in the finished kingdom of God within. It must be accepted there. Don't look for it to come in the future. That's time. It will appear in time as you accept it as a fact within. The brain does not give you the opportunity to say, I am the infinite light. The brain knows nothing about it. And so the brain shies away. It doesn't want to overextend. It doesn't want to commit itself to something it can't understand. And so if you really rely on your brain, you're not going to accept that you are the infinite light. Something higher than the brain must move you in that direction. And that is why these incidents appear in the Bible, so that 3 years later disciples can say, oh, that's what he meant. That is why they appear here to you now, to assure you of something that your brain will not accept. They are here to overcome the incapacity and the unwillingness of the brain to make this hurdle, to give you that courage, to give you that inner lift that will take you above the radius of brain thought, which says, no, I'm afraid to do that, make you realize that until you do that, you are saying to God, stay away. You are saying to Christ, I don't want any part of you. And you are turning away from your own eternal life. Lay down that brain which refuses to do what something higher in you is asking you to do. And do it. Accept fullness of divinity, fullness of the light, full power of the light present now. And that power is the perfection of God in you. Again and again and again we're called upon to accept until you are in that unshakable conviction that the light of God I am. Now and forever. If it's too late for a second half, well, that's all right. But let's have an intermission, and then let's just have a 5-minute intermission, and then there's something I'd like to look at after 5 minutes in the Bible, and that will conclude it. In the second epistle of Peter, we have a statement by one who accompanied Christ Jesus in those early days down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and other disciples. Now what they were doing in Capernaum was this, and it's right in the first chapter of the second epistle of Peter, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now you see, the acceptance of Christ's self has called us to glory and virtue and gives us the power of all things pertaining to godliness, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Now, Peter went through that, but there's a prophecy in Haggai and it's kind of like Isaiah's prophecy. Now, we know Isaiah's prophecies all have come true, the birth of Jesus, down to Jesus being in such and such a place at such and such a time. And what we're learning is that those prophecies are not prophecies. They are the Spirit itself announcing itself through one who is in the consciousness of now, and this is interpreted to human beings as in time. It can only appear in time because it's in now. And so we go to Haggai, the second chapter, the 9th verse. Well, maybe we'll go a little further back, according to the word that I covenanted with you when we came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. This is the living word saying to us, my spirit remaineth among you. And if you tore this page out of the Bible and threw it away, it would not change the fact that my spirit now here remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. Oh, there's another overturning coming, isn't there? And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that's in the now. That's a statement of now. That now, in the Spirit of the Father, all has been shaken out. There is nothing except the pure, perfect, present Spirit of God. It will appear in time as the shaking out of that which is unlike God. But now, here, in the now of you, is that perfection. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. You see it out here as silver and gold, but that's but an imitation in time of the precious Spirit of God. The glory of this latter house, the new consciousness, the glory of the new consciousness, the glory of this latter house, the glory of your new self, which has departed from the mortal sense of self, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Your latter consciousness shall be greater than your former, because now is your latter consciousness waiting to be realized. This of Haggai is the word of the Father in you. And if you could hear with the inner ear of Haggai, it would say to you exactly what he puts forth in the outer for us to read with the eye. This latter house will be greater than the former. Translation. Now, 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 in the now, are we perfect as our Father. Whatever is in the now of infinity is in the now of your life. And whatever is not expressing in the changing time appearance of your life represents that degree to which you are not accepting the now of your life. As you accept the now, then the time interim is shortened and shortened and shortened until now remains now and there is time no more. When there is time no more, that is transition. For there is no longer the need of a mortal sense of self. Time has passed away. The now of you is the permanent, eternal now realized. That is why time is shortened as you come higher in Christ consciousness, until finally you're in that consciousness where time has no existence. All is the now of perfection. And that is the latter house, which is now, which is greater than the former, which was in time. It clarifies your work for you, your purpose here, to be in the now of perfection instead of in the duality of time, by the acceptance of light. If you were to translate this into daily living, it would be that you are conscious of the infinite perfect capacity of your own being to maintain itself in its perfection, and therefore you refuse to let the brain refer to an external event which is not reflecting that perfection. You're literally making your brain that temple which Christ cleansed in the Bible. And that brain becomes the temple that you are constantly cleansing until you can say, I have overcome the brain. I have overcome the five senses that report to the brain. The whole cosmic illusion is unseated when you know that the greatest illusion in the cosmic illusion is the illusion that you have senses at all. They are the prime illusion. The brain is the prime illusion. The brain and the senses themselves are illusion. And we come to a place where we can look at the visible illusion without fearing what it exhibits to us, because we are in the latter house, which says, fear not. I am the living Spirit of God where you stand. And I am maintaining a perfect universe, a perfect body, a perfect you, a perfect him, a perfect her. All is perfect in the now. Just stand here in the now, fear not, in the latter house, in the consciousness that now God is. And there is no other. You will day by day find that you're overcoming the illusion of a brain. Not the illusions that the brain brings you, but the illusion of a brain itself. And you'll see how we are mesmerized into the belief that there is a time out here in which things can happen. Time itself is the illusion which we're learning to overcome. There is no time. That mesmerism in the brain of time robs us of our birthright of the eternal now. There is no time, and everything happening in it is this brain which has not accepted that only now can exist in infinity. Now, you may not be able to put this into practice every moment, but it's important that it registers within you, so that one moment you will be looking at something which causes fear, and the next moment you will realize it is something changing in time, and time isn't there. You've been fooled. The world of time is the illusion. The five senses, which are the disciples, are being trained that there is no world of time. The brain is being trained that there is no world brain. That all that exists is the eternal infinite and only life, which is the Spirit of God. Behind this illusion of brain and senses is your now consciousness of this truth, which will enable you to stand and watch the illusion go by. The latter house, which was predicted by Haggai, is is coming over the world through time, when time will be no more. Next week, Joel takes us on another journey. Fourth chapter of Beyond Words and Thoughts. And that chapter's title is Truth Unveiled. We may find that so far in following the activity of Christ within, we have unveiled some truth too. And so we may find a great confirmation awaiting us in this chapter, and a further expansion of consciousness. Now, each of you will get something different out of today, but I can tell you it's just another beginning, and we may have many opportunities to strengthen that beginning until we have all cleared the courtyard and the inner court of world thought. When pure thought is revealed as all that is present. I would have liked today to discuss world thought more completely, because that's what Jesus was revealing in that courtyard. But I realize that we don't have the time anymore. We're still in our time world. Please read Truth Unveiled in fourth chapter, and let's see if we can't Beyond Words and Thought. Yes. Plus, we'll keep moving ahead with John here, naturally. So we'll be quiet for a moment now. Meditation quiets the complete outer courtyard, permitting communion in the inner temple. Thanks again for being here today.